Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Racone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody, and morning, Kathy. This is End Times Friday, which will be airing on April the 25th. And we're actually, we try, by the way, as we do our end time stuff, not to tape that too far ahead because things are so dynamic that we try to keep it reasonably close. So we're actually taping it reasonably close. We just taped, it'll be right after this, will be Eric and Rabbi and Denny from Israel.
Yeah.
Giving an update on Iran, you know, which we talked about last time a little bit about the fact that they're in the process of deciding what to do about the Iran nuclear bomb capability. And there's thoughts that, you know, Trump, since we had our last discussion, is attempting to negotiate something that with the threat of, hey, if you don't negotiate properly, we'll just take care of it. And obviously, Israel would like it to be taken care of for sure. Mm-hmm. And so, but everybody's not sure where that negotiation is. And we know one thing, Israel isn't directly involved in those negotiations. They're not at the table.
Right.
Maybe
which
they're
behind is very disconcerting for them on some levels, right?
Yeah. It's like, well, you're negotiating for us and we're the ones that are threatened. So.
Right.
They would like to be made sure they're there. Maybe they're there as a proxy behind it. So we'll see. But everybody would just say, watch the news on the negotiation of America with Iran about the weapon, nuclear weapon. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. We'll follow that very closely. We do know one thing is whatever happens, they're not able to destroy Israel because Israel's still there at the end. So
right.
We know that's for sure. And interesting enough, Rabbi agreed with that. Said, well, there's prophecies about it. And they talked about, by the way, the wonder of Seder. And Rabbi reminded us, hey, remember, do you guys know that when he was in the upper room that we actually, you can go visit the upper room where he had the Seder. It was a Seder that he was happening.
Right.
You know? And yeah, we do. We understand that. So that was kind of cool that he does know that as well. So we pray that, you know, that truth will be known to the Jews, which I do believe someday they will receive Jesus as their Messiah. So we've been talking about what's happening in the world and where our position would be is, you know, make sure we're not deceived. And deception can come in a couple of different ways. One, Kathy, is what I just call laziness, is that I don't care about it. So therefore, it doesn't even matter whether I get truth or not truth because I don't care. And in the meantime, I get deceived. Partly out of a movement into don't pay attention to something that you need to pay attention to.
Right.
And you're deceived by just not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a lot of people, particularly because we read statements in Jesus says that, you know, the end is near. He said it when he was here 2,000 years ago. So we'd say, well, I guess his definition of near might be, you know, millennials. So we're only in the second one. So maybe it's another third or fourth one. So who cares about it? But he does say, pay attention. It's going to happen at some point in time. And then secondly is that, and we'll see this today, is that we're not actively receiving truth. And therefore, we're letting somebody else define truth. And when we let somebody else define truth that isn't truth, we're actually in the most dangerous position there is. We think it's truth, but it's completely false.
Right.
And now we're deceived and we operate under that deception.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I would actually add a third one in that that kind of lumps in with the first that you said, you know, the laziness of not listening, not watching, not asking, paying attention. But I also think there is a driver of weariness in that things that are going on in the world, honestly, are overwhelming enough to manage my household, my job, my direct reports, you know, and honestly, being so tired or weary just juggling that, that the idea of asking and seeking and knocking on this other is just overwhelming. And so a weariness keeps them from pressing in as well.
Yeah. 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 And that's interesting.
I see that a lot right now.
Yeah. I do think that that's a very interesting strategy is when you look at deception, it can be, let me point you to focus over here, but the real thing is happening over there, but I'm not, because you're so busy with the here, you're not even thinking about the there, that's really where it's happening. And so you're not paying attention. You're being deceived just by too much stuff going on. And a weariness. I really kind of think that's true. That's one of the interesting things of, you know, why we only, by the way, do it once a week is that we're not suggesting that you make this primary.
Right.
But what we're also suggesting is that you don't ignore it.
Yeah. It needs to stay on your radar. You need to be in dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah. And there will be a point, by the way, when God says that this is really important right now.
Mm-hmm.
And really do bring it up to the surface and spend more energy on it. So we've been talking about this issue of, you know, what's happening in our world and is there deception going on? What does that mean to us? So the answer is yes. So let's look at a verse that I came across recently. Actually, I was looking at it relative to fruitfulness. And then this came out as like, this kind of speaks to this as well. So go read James chapter 1, verses 16 through 27, I believe.
Sure. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Yeah. So he starts out and he says, brothers, sisters, don't be deceived. And the word there is let a truth lead you that you think is true, lead you into error. And you've now flipped what you are to be understanding as truth as you now receive that as error, something that isn't truth as error, but you think it's truth. And it's really error, you know, and he says now, why? Well, he says, every good and perfect gift is from God. Okay, so there's the premise of how we pursue truth. And that is that, one, it is good. And the word there is exceptional, supernatural, bringing about God's goodness, bringing about God's answers, bringing about God's resolutions. That gift is coming to you, and which he then goes on to explain how that works with hearing and processing. And then two, he said, another quality is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so perfect is complete, is all, and it's clearly known this is from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not from God, it's not perfect, in other words.
Right.
So think about the concept of deception. He's attaching that to, number one, assure and make sure that what you are receiving as the gift of truth. And so look at, see, we tend to think of gifts as things. Every good thing.
That's a good, really good point, yeah.
Yeah, and it does include that. But one of the gifts is God says, I will give you revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I will show you truth. And interesting enough, and this is out of John 16, which we've talked about before, the role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth.
Right.
He said, now that's a gift to you.
Mm-hmm.
I place myself within you and I'm going to reveal truth to you. And all you have to do is come alongside of me and walk with me and I'll give it to you. And so every perfect gift of truth is from him. And he said, I'll let you know it's from me or not from me.
Mm-hmm.
See how beautiful that is?
That's wonderful, yes.
Is that as you're working toward a heart, I would like to receive truth. I know that you'll let me know, mm-hmm. is this from you or not? If right. it's from me, God says it's going to be truth. If it's not from me, you can understand it's not truth and you need to go further with this. Don't accept it because you recognize, wait a minute, I don't think this is from God. Mm-hmm. And then he says, go further. So deception is really starts with, do I even have a heart to know truth? Mm-hmm. Okay, number one, that's number one. Number two, and then he says this, don't be a hearer only, but a doer, because if you are a hearer only, you can deceive yourself as well. Okay, so think of what he's setting up as a process. He's saying, now he's talking to believers. He says, number one, have you learned to hear my voice? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Now see, most believers would say no.
Right.
And they're deceived already, see? Because why? Well, they don't have the possibility of getting truth from God because they're relying on other people, pastors, theologians, mm-hmm. commentaries, or just people around them who are telling them you should.
Right.
And they're assuming it's truth, particularly if a pastor stands up and says something, mm-hmm. But it may not be. Like I give you an example. I was at a church where a pastor's a good preacher, but he ran up against a discussion of adversity. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do any time in the Word about it. He didn't do any time with his own personal processing of it. So he read somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And the answer was, you're going to have adversity, put up with it. And that's God's purpose for you to have adversity.
Right.
And suck it up, you know? And like, I'm thinking, wait a minute.
That's not truth.
That doesn't line up with the truth of Scripture. Why? Because I've heard and processed that piece of it out of what God has shown in terms of here's what the Word says, the logos, mm-hmm. and now here's what I want you to understand about that rhema. And so if I'm not, so that people in the audience, congregation, if they're not hearing God's voice, mm-hmm. they could say, okay, all right, I guess that's it. I got to just live with it. And what? Then I would do nothing with it other than just, I got to just accept it and poor me. Well, God says, those that aren't hearing are never going to be able to receive the truth. It'll be real easy to be deceived. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to rely on what other people think and say. And by the way, they're not hearing from me either.
Right.
So you think they're truth and have truth, but they don't. So that's number one. If you don't hear at all, well, then you're going to be deceived. Okay. Then he says, now the others have a heart to hear, and they are hearing. Mm-hmm. He said, now there's another interesting condition. As you start to hear, and he says, are you following what I'm telling you? Mm-hmm. So it's not just, and that's the exciting piece of it to start with. When people start hearing God's voice, it's very exciting because, wow, the God of the universe is actually caring about me and speaking to me and giving me, you know, this wonderful truth. And I'm excited about it. And then he says, okay, now keep hearing me, by the way, but let me walk you into fulfilling what I'm giving you. So like, for example, at retreats, one of the common issues that come up is unforgiveness.
Right.
Which is normal, you know, by the way, because people get hurt, you know, people close to them, family members, they just.
And even when you've worked through it, there's always a new offense that, that you're
there's a lot of, there's
called
a lot of
to
dysfunction.
Walk into forgiveness with. Yeah.
So God will say, I invite you, and they hear this, I invite you to learn forgiveness. And I invite you to understand the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, because that'll mm-hmm. be another piece of it. And they get excited about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now the problem is, he says, if you stay at just that level and you go back to the intellectual piece of it, mm-hmm. and you go back to, I should forgive, but I never really experience forgiveness because I don't really do what I'm hearing. He said, be a doer, right. not just a hearer alone. So you heard it, but you never go deeper with that and you follow mm-hmm. it until you experience it. Because when you experience it, guess what? That truth is now inside of you.
Right. Well, and I feel like this is where a lot of people sit, is even once they have learned to hear from God or are spending time in the Word, hearing Him, hearing His voice through that even, they keep it in head knowledge and never walk out and let God walk them into the experience of it. And so in that, they're in that category you're talking about right there.
Yeah. And you wind up in deception, you know? And so as we're talking about the end is that, and what we try to do is raise up something that you would go spend time hearing God speak about. Mm-hmm. One is help me understand this. And what does this mean? And what's the truth about that? And then number two is, are you asking me to do anything about that in terms of doing, following, understanding, both for me personally, but maybe I'm supposed to be a conduit to others to invite them to the same place. Because if this is truly happening, then the world, the Christian world, our fellow believers, our communities need to understand something, because there's a truth happening that they need to be aware of, and then they need to get instruction. So that, you know, I just want to raise up a couple of interesting things about, you know, what is happening, you know, in the economy right now. And there's a lot of confusion about it, because, and we've been saying this, by the way, be careful that you don't make an assumption about this, because, hey, we got a new administration and the economy is going to be great. That's what everybody thought. Well, guess what?
It's a bit of a roller coaster right now.
there's things going on that may actually say it's going to be not just great, it's going to be really awful. So we just want to raise up a few things. So these are from what they call these hedge fund managers that are very astute in the economy, because everything they do is related on investments, what they do. So they've said that the problem that is occurring is that they think that there's a possibility that it could be a very deep recession, not just a little bit. Actually, what's happening now, it could lead to a very deep recession. And a couple of them have said they've studied what it was like in the 20s, 1920s, leading to the Depression.
Interesting.
And he said the same mentality kind of exists, where everybody thinks that'll never happen. But it did happen, and there are certain things that were going on that were happening. And they said that what's happening is that the tariffs have stimulated and are stimulating inflation, more inflation. So that's going to happen. And it's not, you can't reverse that unless you ended them all, but probably not. So tariffs worldwide are going to raise prices faster than people's incomes.
Right.
So it's going to put pressure on it. Number two, the debt is skyrocketing around the world. Because of this, both at a national level, but actually at a personal level, so that if something around 60 to 70% of the American population is primarily living on credit cards now, because they can't afford to pay their monthly bills out of their normal income. Why? Because of inflation and because of the diminishing power. And then because of what's happening politically, there's power shifts going on around the world. It's about this issue of tariffs and what do people do and don't do and how do they respond and where does that leave America, you know, et cetera. It could cause, the possibility is a fairly deep recession. Now there's an interesting, again, because I'm a student of just reading about this and I have to follow, you know, I have to get the data, by the way. I'm really careful because a lot of people write all kinds of stuff. So I don't just say, oh yeah, well, that's it. I go underneath it. I'll look at data. Okay. What does the data show about the debt? If the debt is true, what's happening to inflation? I go to the data. So what they're saying, that's interesting. That's true. Well, there's another thing happening. It's been happening. And that is that the price of gold and silver has been increasing over the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Okay. Now,
significantly.
Okay. So typically when the market is good, the stock market has been very good and real estate has been very good. Gold and silver decrease because it's considered what's called a hedge investment or an insurance investment. So, hey, if things are going great, gold and silver are going to decline. And by the way, during that time, you know, I buy some of that, a little bit of that, not me personally, but I'm saying people buy some of that. And then when things go bad, gold and silver rise. And you can, what's called hedging. So I lose some here, but I gain some here.
Right.
And that's typically how it goes. Well, I noticed when things were good, gold and silver were still rising. So I'm saying, wait a minute, there's something going on here.
Right.
Because this is not normal cycle here.
There's something more than meets the eye here.
Yeah. So I started looking into it. And by the way, it's now reinforced by just recent evidence. But the central banks have all been buying gold for the last 5 years.
Oh, interesting.
And because of it, supply and demand has been handling with gold and silver, and they're driving the price up because they're the ones buying real gold and real silver and then storing it. The central banks. Okay, now remember, we've talked about the central banks.
Right.
They're owned and controlled by the Rothschild family. And even the Federal Reserve is not an American institution. It's not an American government institution. It's owned
despite the word federal, it's owned privately. Yeah.
It's owned by other people. And I believe that as you tie that together with the World Economic Forum for One World Government, is that they're heading toward a currency that will be a single electronic currency, but supported by gold and silver underneath it all. And they're getting it all set up. And so the price of gold and silver is going up. It's like, huh. So we've got inflation, we've got debt, and they're buying gold and silver.
Right.
Are they planning, predicting, knowing that there's a decent recession coming and things are going to change? And at the same time, when you look at their typical, what they call fiscal actions, if there's a recession, they lower interest rates.
Right.
To stimulate borrowing and get economy back running. When they have inflation, they raise interest rates because you can't sustain it. And it puts the pressure, by the way, on the debt systems around the world to be able to have to pay interest, which they just don't have money to pay. So, and they just came out, this was just this week, they came out and said, you know what, we got a problem. We can't do our normal thing right now because there's so much inflation because of tariffs and we see a recession coming. We should lower interest rates, but we can't. And if we do, we'll actually stimulate it to be worse. And if we raise it, we'll stimulate it to be worse. We're kind of stuck. So that means what? Uncertainty, possible consequences to that of what's coming down the road. And it could be because, and this is where the piece of it is interesting, they're buying gold and silver underneath it all.
Right.
Maybe they're part of the plan.
Interesting.
Of actually being part of this. So the issue is don't be deceived. And what we're saying is the reality of a recession, which could be fairly deep, is getting stronger and stronger. If that's so, that's going to impact me, anybody, in my work. Will I have a job? What about my company? How are they going to make it? What about my house? What about my investments? And all we're saying to you is don't be deceived. And we urge you to take this thing. Don't neglect it. And we're not even telling you that we know or it's absolute or even that even God says to you to care about it. And you may be, you know what? You don't need to worry about this. No problem. And if God says that, I always rejoice. You know, like, okay, there's
but
a lot of things.
But question up with him, right?
Don't worry about that. You know, okay, I won't. But we're saying go talk to him. Hear what he has to say. Start to raise up the thing of, is there something happening? Remember, this is about truth. Is there something happening that I need to have some awareness of? And then let me hear that from you. And then if so, what would you have me do, follow into being obedient to my instructions about this? Because your heart is to bless me. And by the way, this is the cool thing. God's blessing is not dependent on the state of the economy.
Absolutely.
He supersedes it because he said, none of that matters to me. I can still do it, but I need you to walk with me. You have to be with me where I can talk to you and I can help you follow me into the solution of this. If you neglect it, for example, the two million Israelis that said, we're not going. Here's my promise to you, to the covenant. We're not going. He said, okay. They wandered around for 40 years.
And he allowed them to do that, yeah.
And they never experienced any blessing other than just survival. That's it. Why? Well, he said, I can't bless you unless you walk with me. And where I'm headed is the promised land. And if you're not willing to go, okay, we'll just stop. We'll just wait. You know, maybe the next generation will want to go. So it's not an automatic. That's what you got to be careful of is that, well, faith is what God will take care of me. He says, well, it's about hearing and then following. And the key is don't deceive yourself. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Why? Well, because I'd like to know truth. And the key, and this is true on the other side of it, which is something I've always had to work on, is he said, Rich, don't be careful. Be careful that you don't jump to your own conclusions.
Right.
Or the timing of that. And I, you know, I can say, then I think this, what he said, hold on. I'm showing you truth.
Step by step.
The key is hear and follow. Hear and follow. But don't neglect what I'm telling you. And this is why we're raising it up and we care about raising it up because we do see things happening that we're called to at least announce it to have you consider because these are true and this is true information. Now, we're not saying what to do about it. We're not saying what the answer is, but we do say, don't be deceived. How? Listen and follow.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful little truth, and we'll keep watching all this and keep up to date on the economy because it's going to be very tricky, I think, coming up.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting season we're in. Right?
Heavenly Father, we're just rejoicing at this wonderful truth that you tell us is don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from you, including the revelation of truth. And you will communicate this is from you, and we can trust it. And then as we hear it, first of all, we got to learn to hear it, and then hear it, receive it, process it, believe it, and then follow it. And as we do, that truth will become real to us and we'll know what to do next. And so we pray for that, that our audience would have a great heart for that and to pursue what you have to show us, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Thanks for just always leading us back to the feet of Jesus to seek his truth. And that intentional seeking of truth is what keeps us from being deceived, right?
Amen.
So thanks again. And if you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.